It is a cold and wet windy night on this Gretna Eve. Yet here we are, warm, indoors, speaking to you through cyberspace. This is episode 2.11 of Break for Frogger. Welcome all, listening to us, being all nice and video gamey. On my left, I have...
Tom Oates, you ponty twat.
Around the table we have...
We have Ewan Taylor, live in person today.
He's here, in person. We can
here,
see him.
I'm not queer, just get on with it.
To the other sofa we have...
I'm on the same sofa as you.
But I am but an arty ponce who has come in to do the introduction. I am not actually here.
Well, then I wouldn't be on the other sofa, I would be on the sofa.
Ah, it's all getting very metaphysical. His name, when he joins us properly, will be Cameron Phillips. And today's guest is, all the way from Sonic's Ring, the evilest ninja called Phil there is that we could find in the Yellow Pages.
That was available for free.
It is evil ninja Phil.
Hello, and I'm not racist.
No!
Make that clear right away, I am not a racist.
We would never ever dream of calling you such a thing. Now,
no, nor would anybody on this podcast ever dream of doing an intro in a mock Jamaican accent.
Never, never in happen. A million
it would
years.
Never happen.
No.
Anyway, cue the theme song. Well, after that lovely interlude again, we're back with the first part. So we'll do what you're playing and just get this podcast kicked off to a good one. So going first, we will have... Let's do Tom first.
You're picking on me because I wasn't here last month.
I'm picking on you because you weren't here last month. It's been a month since we've heard... Well, 2 months since we heard your dulcet tones.
Oh.
Seems fair.
Two games then, I'm afraid. I'll keep them brief, though.
Okay.
Because one of them's going to be discussed by at least... two of us, I imagine.
Okay.
Although I do believe it was discussed in some capacity last month.
Which one do you mean?
Arkham City.
Yes, it was discussed in some capacity last month. I have since finished it, but obviously we can't really talk about the ending without having huge spoilers.
I have also finished it.
Right.
But yeah, that has taken up the majority of my time this month. Impressed. I am wholeheartedly impressed with it.
I would still myself say, and I have maintained this, that the post-game Arkham Asylum is slightly better than the post-game City.
I was...
Without giving too much away.
Yes. I was enjoying the post-game City until I finished all the side missions except the Riddler one. Now it's just become an unbearable ball ache and I can only manage about 20 minutes a time of searching for the rest of the trophies. I really should have done more searching while I was playing, I think, and not left 200 of them.
No, that's a rather lot to afterwards. Leave around, to be fair.
Yeah. But it's taken me until that point to kind of figure out how to do them.
Yeah.
You know? Probably. There's a lot of gliding back and forth ones that I've only really grasped now that I've done all the training and stuff. I mean, what's your opinion on it, anyway?
What, the sort of post-story game? Or what, generally, the whole game?
No.
The whole thing?
Oh, because I haven't had an attempt to discuss it with you.
As
someone who's completed it now.
I really enjoyed it in the same way I enjoyed Arkham Asylum. I still maintain that there's a rather... Asylum had a big, massive Achilles heel in the fact that the boss battles were a bit poor. And with City, they've kind of improved that by miles.
No end.
Because there wasn't really a boss battle in that one where I thought it was a bit disappointing and a bit rubbish.
No.
But in saying that, although obviously I can't talk much about the story and give it away, the story does seem to end rather abruptly.
Yeah,
do you not think it goes nicely paced,
and then
it's like
at the
right then, ba-da-dum, and then done. That's it. End. Yeah. It just seems to kind of fall off a cliff, and just as if they couldn't, there was going to be an extra bit on at the end, but they couldn't really be arsed with it.
Yeah, there was early stages of the game where I was actually reconsidering my favourite game I've ever played, Accolade. But as that progressed, I stopped enjoying quite so much.
Right.
And then by the end, as you say, it was so abrupt. It just didn't feel like it was tied up properly.
Yeah, that's it's
It is still great.
No, it's still a great game. I don't have any fault
attention to detail.
No. Yeah,
again,
the attention to detail.
The character
is fantastic.
Trophies, the side stories. It's all brilliant.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Easter eggs. The Easter eggs are amazing.
Yes, there are many a good Easter egg in it.
Needs to have ended a little more controlled, I think.
That's the big thing I would have said. Yes. Yeah. It's the ending is slightly off kilter with the rest of the game.
Aside from that, I've been playing the Shadow of the Colossus HD remake for the PS3.
Because
I have a PS3.
Yes.
I've mentioned that before.
Yes, yes, you have mentioned this before, yes. The PS3 had arrived. But how far are you in Shadow of the Colossus?
I am 7 or 8 colossi down. I can't quite remember. I think the large water snake, thunder
with
the
electricity.
Water. Yeah.
God, I can't even remember what number that is. 6 or 7?
I think it's 7.
I think 7.
But I'm sort of, you know, as a person who's only played that game since it's been a HD remake, I never had the opportunity prior.
No.
Despite having a PS2, which is, it wasn't on my game radar.
Yeah, that's
at that point. Obviously, I haven't got the comparative thing going on, but I am really enjoying. Bones of the game are fantastic. I love the fact that there's no enemies apart from the colossi.
Just you and the 16 colossi.
It's such a good idea. It's so peaceful.
Yeah, bizarrely.
Yeah.
But then intense when you get to the boss battle.
Absolutely.
It's such the comparison between the two.
I also had the opportunity to. That night shift, which I worked.
Yeah.
Which made me miss the last episode.
Uh-huh.
I did take my console up to the place I was working at the time.
You take your console to work?
Just the ones. You'll understand why.
Right.
They have a 42-inch 3D TV.
Right.
Shadow of the Colossus has 3D compatibility.
Yes.
I needed to see.
And?
Quite impressive, actually.
All right.
You know, the work they've put in to give the perspective is really, really quite incredible. It's a little bit nauseous occasionally.
Right.
When you, like, there's a few wooded areas where there's such a large amount of items in the field of vision that you do get a bit kind of confused with the lower half of the screen and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, yeah, it looks quite good. I'd be interested to have tried Arkham City, because that's 3D
yes.
enabled as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I did like the one thing about, sorry, just to flip back to Arkham briefly.
Okay.
The one thing about the PS3 version, which I played, is that there's the ability to use the 6-axis for the gliding.
Is there?
Which is, it's something cool. of a novelty. Fun.
Yeah, fun.
But not really
not
viable in the long term.
If it's anything like the control in Grand Theft Auto 4, yeah, use the 6-axis to drive a helicopter. It was fucking terrible in Grand Theft Auto. I spent more time crashing helicopters than I did actually getting anywhere.
What was that horrible game they had on the PS3 a couple of years ago that you had flight controls on the 6-axis? The dragon one. Was it Leia?
Oh, Dragon Panther, wasn't it? Dragon Leia?
Leia, just it was just Leia, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
It was truly terrible. It looked quite cool, but then it was awful.
Cool but awful.
It looked cool, but in reality, was awful. So is that about it then?
Yeah, it was definitely Leia. I just checked on Wikipedia.
Ooh. He's hot tonight. He's hot tonight. He's got his Wikipedia out, and he's gonna be fact checking all night.
This is what
we've brought him in for.
Yeah.
See, no one else does this.
The fact checking.
Usually, we don't get facts checked, and Phil's here tonight to do that for us. That's why.
Yeah, I've got a clipboard and I'm going for it.
He is like.
Thank you.
He's like the Lassie in Dictionary Corner on Countdown.
Just as sexy.
I would say more sexy, to be honest. That's why I can spend more time around you.
Flirting.
Well, no. Lair was done by Factor 5, and that was their last game. Obviously, Factor 5 did Rogue Squadron for the 64.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a great game.
I had that.
Oh, he's here.
A mention of a Star Wars retro game, and Al suddenly wakes up.
Boom! There we go.
He's awake.
Yes, Rogue Squadron, I've got it.
And it was so badly received that the studio closed after that, which is a bit of a shame.
A little bit. It's always a shame when a studio closes.
Rogue Squadron for the GameCube as well, that's an awesome game, that was.
Never played it.
No.
I haven't played that one either. GameCube a bit too modern for my liking.
The GameCube was 10 years old this week.
Half counts as retro.
It counts as retro now. It's 10 years plus. It's got to be.
Not
retro.
In my mind.
Oh, Jesus. It's 20 years plus.
If I can't shove a cartridge in it,
wow.
It's not retro.
That is some firm retro.
As soon as they got rid of cartridges, if it gets rid of cartridges, then it's not retro as far as you're concerned.
Pretty much.
It's a fair point, actually.
At least he pins his colours to the mast.
Oh.
Is that all then, Tom?
Aside from, I've been occasionally playing Flower. Remember Flower?
Yeah, I remember Flower, yeah.
It's enjoyable. but it's not really got any kind of...
No, it's not really got much basis to it, really. You're just kind of...
No.
It's quite a wanky game to look at the PSG's graphics, isn't it?
Basically.
Yeah.
It's not got any real long-term playability,
unless
so it's
you're
kind
environmentalist.
Of a level every now and then. I have been playing Dead Space a little bit on my Xperia Play as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, that's just another Dead Space game, and it's nothing particularly fantastic to write home about, so I shan't really talk about
it. You had a mental Dead Space phase about a few months ago, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. You did. Well, did you not do like 1 and 2 in like the same
month? I never finished 2.
You never finished 2?
No, I got to the second disc and stopped.
Ooh, interesting.
Things got complicated, remember?
Oh, yes, I remember, yes. Okay, no problem. Right.
But yeah, it's me.
Phil.
Oh, man. Right. Was I supposed to play games for this thing?
Well,
usually, to... yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me, usually.
All right.
No, now hey! He just sits there.
Well, what
and
I've
kind
been
of...
doing recently is because I've not really bought any games recently because I've not got much money at the moment. I've been kind of going back through all games to complete those because I've got a stack in my drawer that I just not got around to completing. So the first one I got through and finished a few days ago was God of War 3.
Ooh, now then. Keep going then.
Sorry, though, you. Oh, everybody sounded like they cut off. That someone's going to say something.
No, we're waiting on you. I'm being courteous.
Oh, sorry. I'm not used to this. Jesus.
You are the guest, and we are giving you room to speak, my friend.
I fucking speak.
I'm not used to being treated with respect on podcasts. This is what's confusing me.
I know. It's a strange set of circumstances. I know. Get used to it.
I don't like it. It doesn't feel right. Yeah, God of War 3.
Would you rather be abused?
The powerhouse franchise for the PlayStation. It was good.
That doesn't sound...
But, I think... When did God of War come out? 3? That was about 2 years ago?
It'll be about 2009, yeah.
Same week as Darksiders came out, so yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good memory.
It really... Uncharted really makes this... Like, really shows this game up. Because I think God of War 3 looks spectacular and it plays well. And it's obviously a really well-crafted experience. But the story is so pants...
I kind
and
of
the
agree.
Voice acting is so poor that it just doesn't really engage as much as like a really well done story like you get in Uncharted, and it's probably like an unfair comparison, but because it's being sort of the game essentially, you know, walk down a corridor and beat people up, so you know you want to have a good story there with it, and you know it has got some great kind of nice epic set pieces and everything, but whenever Kratos speaks, he's just so dull.
Never mind the fact that he's a completely unbearable twat as well.
Yeah. He's just kind of go around just killing people just because, you know, he's a bit grumpy. And then they kind of throw some young girl in it. He's like, oh, it's like his daughter. Oh, Kratos has got emotions. Look at him, care for her. And you're like, yeah. But he's just like massacred loads of people. He doesn't really care about shit. He's like, whenever he speaks, he's just like, I will go and open that door over there.
With your head.
Yeah, everything he does is like, I think I need a drink.
I need a sandwich.
From your skull.
Yeah.
And they can make a sandwich with your soul.
Yeah. You know, like the Batman voice in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
It's like that. And you just kind of think, there's no depth to the character. And it's a germ of a really good story in there, but it's just kind of overshadowed by having breasts and blood in it, which is a bit of a shame.
Was he not kind of more fleshed out in the first game? I seem to remember in the first God of War, it's kind of a bit of more of a vengeance thing.
Yeah,
you can kind of understand why he's trying to take it out on Zeus, because, you know, he's had his family murdered and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You'd think by sort of like, well, what, 3 games between sort of PS2 and PS3 and 2 games on the PSP, you'd have got over it by now.
No, you know, firmly not over it at all.
Where, there's probably a fantastic comedy sketch somewhere about Kratos going to therapy.
If not, somebody create that immediately.
You know what I mean? I bet it's on YouTube or something like that already. Someone's probably...
Edit that out of the podcast, just to be safe, and write it down and do it.
Yeah.
We'll do it after the record.
We should.
Ewan and I did spot today, actually, that the PSP versions are out now on PS3.
Yeah, there's a volume
They've upscaled them and put them on the PS3, which is probably way, way better, because I don't think they would have hit that much of an audience on the PSP.
Well, about 8 people on the PSP.
I did have Chains of Olympus, actually.
I had Chains of Olympus as well.
That was technically the first God of War game I played.
Yeah, but there was one bit I couldn't get fucking past, because it just seemed to be... You're trying to open a door and be on this, like, to the other side, there was like some bars, and there was like things firing arrows through the bars. You couldn't kill it, and every single time it hit you, you had, it reset the animation and opened the door.
The whole level design in the game is just really contrived as well. It's just so like, there are these, some levels have been designed by like, you know, Zeus himself and stuff, and it's like, I need to do all this to open the door, I need to climb there, turn that wheel, fill this up with water, and then the door opens. It all seems, I know that's like video game design, is that kind of thing, but it just seems really kind of
like, overblown.
The puzzle bits don't really fit into the game. You just kind of walk along and boom, it's a puzzle, and then boom, it's a fight.
I think the makers were fans of the Crystal Maze. Because that was a game show about incredibly complicated things that just sound really simple.
Richard O'Brien played Kratos.
Oh my god, yes!
Wow. But the problem is, at the start of the game, somebody picked physical, and that's all you get during the game. You don't get any skill or mental.
You don't get any mental.
Well, you do have mental, that's the bit where you're killing everyone.
And it's all based in the Olympus zone. I want to go to the future zone, and you know, underwater zone and stuff, and have some fun in different zones, not just in the Olympus zone. Yeah, so I kind of killed that now, so I'm probably going to get rid of it, and then I might move on to Mass Effect 2 next, so I need to get back into that.
Ah, now, Mass Effect, I think, as we've discussed before on this podcast, I feel has passed me by.
Yeah, I was really enjoying it, but I just kind of, it's just one of those games where it needs a lot of time put into it.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to find the time to put into things.
Just to back that up, my game saves combined for Mass Effect 1 and 2 equate to 80 hours.
Fuck.
Shit.
35 That's hours a lot of time. On the first one, 45 on the second.
So you're a student, Tom.
That's the only explanation, surely.
Yes.
Yeah, but I've got, oh my god, I like an actual job. Yeah. Bloody student.
Hey, I have to do a 37 and a half hour week.
That's not the point. You're still a student.
That's not the point.
Whatever Cam said. Yeah, student racism, yeah.
Yeah, get him out. Educated.
Yeah. I seem to have bought loads of, like, in the past, like, I've got Disgaea 3 and Demon Souls and Mass Effect. And Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii. These kind of games that need like epic amount of time to play in them. And I want to put the time into them, but I just can't find the time for them, which is... trying to use this period to kind of go through those games and give them the play they deserve.
Here's how you do it. Get divorced, lose your job, and just sit at home your pants all day.
What a plan.
Well, I do one of those things every day.
Okay, I don't need to know which one, thank you.
I'm actually setting my pants right now.
Watching Lord of the
Rings. Under my trousers, like all of us, yeah?
Yeah.
See what I did there? See what I did there?
Some of us have just got trousers on.
Oh, commando, eh? So, yeah, God of War 3 is what I've been playing recently, and I've gone through that, and...
No, I can kind of agree with what you say, though. I've hit a certain point with God of War 3 where I was really enjoying it, and now it's just seeming a bit banal.
Yeah, and the only kind of way that the game increased the difficulty is just by throwing more and more enemies at you.
Like,
towards the end, you just get rooms full of bad guys that go on for, like, 10 minutes, and it's just, it's not an interesting way to make the game more difficult. It's just making it more difficult arbitrarily.
Yeah. Arkham City makes that more interesting. The fact you can go into a room and have, like, 30 guys there, you actually, it's a completely separate thing altogether. Because you want to beat those 30 guys, you want to find a way to beat them.
It's building up
a combo. It's fun, whereas 30 people in God of War, it's just, you've got this angry bald guy with Tourette's, who's got a violence problem, and... there's just no point. You're just murdering people for the sake of it.
Pretty much. I understand that people, but obviously I think Uncharted 2 really, and Uncharted 3 from what I've heard, really does show how you do like a big proper cinematic action game, which, you know, God of War 3 has got the look but hasn't got the story, so
I know what you mean. I've played God of War 3 up until the first boss battle because Tom's got it and I had a blast of it, and like the Poseidon battle, and I think God of War 3 is pretty much summed up by the ending of the battle with Poseidon. In that it goes first person, but from the point of view of Poseidon, as you are controlling Kratos, killing him.
Yeah.
And the finale is Kratos takes two thumbs and sticks them in his eye sockets and the whole screen goes black. That's kind of overkill, basically.
Yeah, it's all about it's a very American teenager kind of game.
Yeah, I know what you mean. On another note, though, I have a Greek brother-in-law. And he has a PS3, but he refuses to touch anything God of War, because it's basically all he says it's all the stories he got told as a child, but basically fed through an American filter and wanked out the other end, in his own words. and he hates them for that reason. And he tried to give some kind of comparison to, like, you know, oh, if you know, is it a British set of stories that you know that you get told when you're a kid, and it's all about, you know, it's basically, it's like, what about someone who just, you know, shits on that and then thinks it's great and then just basically puts violence into all of it? And I was like,
going, the Wombles. Like the American, like he did, like an Americanized version of the Wombles.
Pretty much, yeah. They could do an Americanized version of the Wombles, but have like fury and axes and blood in it.
Yeah, I kind of get. I understand that kind of point.
Are the Wombles Jamaican?
No.
No.
Yes.
No. It was. Has that been it, Phil?
Yeah, that's what. That's what I've been. That's what I've been playing.
Hey.
All right.
Was Ariadne one?
No. Oh, shut up.
Fucking hell.
Ewan.
Hello.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of things, hence my bank balance is looking rather low. Yeah, this time of year is always bad. Mainly because all of the big studios are just throwing out every game they've got going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but has it ever been this bad, though?
No, I don't think it's ever been this bad. Every week.
No, everyone's going around saying that. Oh, it's the greatest year we've ever had for games. Everything's been released. Oh, my God. People say that every damn year.
But this is the first year I've really noticed it.
Yeah, but it happens every single year. There's always stuff like this coming out. We always have this. It's no great shock that we have, you know, it's Christmas. They released this game for Christmas. But
they seem to be very condensed this year. Like, all the big releases seem to be out in the space of 2 weeks. Like Modern Warfare and Batman and Skyrim and Zelda and the Mario 3DS game and Battlefield 3 all seem to be out in the space of about 3 weeks.
Yeah, but that's... most of those... Well, what? Skyrim's an update. Batman's a sequel. Modern Warfare is obviously a sequel of a franchise.
Battlefield.
It's the version of FIFA. There you go.
It's FIFA with bullets.
Say it again. No. Don't start that.
Saying
piss
it again.
In here.
Saying
don't
it again.
Don't start that piss in here.
It's fact.
No, it's not.
Somebody's repeated it on the Guardian website, saying that, you know, it's
fuck
a
them.
Annual. It's true.
I don't care. Shut up.
I'm right!
No. Let's not have any of these Sonic Ring arguments cross over to the nice, peaceful podcast.
I'm making Phil feel at home.
No, he doesn't need to feel at home. Look, he's already said he's surprised that he's getting treated with courtesy.
Well, I'm just changing that.
Don't go be driving. Obviously, Ewan, you've learnt this off Dave. Don't bring it back home. Just because you've learnt
it
at school.
Who are you, Goebbels?
Just because...
And that's broken everywhere.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, so I've been playing a lot this month. Still back on track. One game that has impressed me... Sorry, I've lost Tom. He's gone. But I've been playing both Battlefield 3 and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Because, well, I like both franchises for different reasons. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is more a single-player thing for me. I know it sounds completely stupid. But
no, from what I've heard.
The multiplayer for me, it's more like putting a bunch of children in a soft play area and having them around going, it's all very disorganized at times. It's all very, I'm sure Dave's having a fit right now as I say this. Which, hi Dave.
We can hope.
But I just feel that, yeah, obviously there are team modes on Call of Duty, but I never feel like you're truly working as a team.
Yeah.
Whereas in Battlefield 3, for example, if you're running out on your own like a complete div, you're gonna get dead in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because like in FIFA.
Okay, explain that comparison.
No.
Good point. Whereas in Battlefield 3, if you do run out on your own, you're gonna get killed by, like, you know, a sniper, a tank will run over you, some kind of form of aircraft will bomb you. You've really got to think on your feet a lot more and obviously stay with your team. And even the small match of finding a car, getting two or three people in it, and driving to a location, that can sometimes be the most dangerous part of the game. Because there's three people there, if somebody can see you on the plane and goes, oh, hello, 3 kills in 1 go, thank you very much. You've got to think about what you're doing at all times. And obviously, with Call of Duty 3, grenades, airstrikes can drop in a building, and the building just goes, ha-ha, I am made of impregnable steel or something. I can't breath all down. Whereas in Battlefield 3, first time you get a tank shell at the wall, like, oh shit, my wall has gone. They can see me now. I should probably move somewhere else, but this is probably another wall. I think it's a lot more, you have to think a lot more, as in Call of Duty you've got a lot given to you, like, here's a building. No one can shoot through the building at you.
Call of Duty is essentially a video game's Michael Bay movie.
Yes, I agree with
essentially,
that.
Essentially. If
it
Michael
is.
Bay made a video game, he would
yeah,
be
like
more
FIFA.
Than more. Yeah, exactly. He does as well.
Michael Bay presents FIFA. It is kind of like that. I would agree. College is a lot of magnificent explosions going off. You get that in Battlefield 3, but it's a lot more controlled state. It's not quite as sensory overload as times. You know, sometimes in college you're like, all right, can we have stuff like 5 minutes of a building falling down or something, please? Hmm. Or a helicopter going down, or you being put in a life and death situation. I'm not saying one game is better than the other. I think it's down to what your premise is at the end of the day. If you want to go in all guns blazing, or pew pew pew, whatever, I would say Call of Duty. But if you want a more kind of thinking game, I mean, at one time, an average multiplayer game on Battlefield 3, for example, like a capture the flag game, could be about half an hour.
Get your tactics sorted.
Yeah, once you get your tactics sorted, then obviously you need to kind of get your teammates sorted out. Who's going where? Who's defending where? Where are we going next? And there's a lot of thought behind it, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a brilliant, brilliant game as well. So, I don't know, it's really up to your personal preference. At the end of the day, which one you go for, I'm not going to say one's better than the other, because they're both different. Even though most people would say, oh, it's still an FPS. Well, of course it's an FPS. There, you see the gun.
That's what it is.
That's what it is, an FPS game.
Would there be a comparison between the Pro Evo and FIFA debate? Being that it used to be the case that FIFA was your arcade kicks and ISS was your top drawer serious soccer. And now it's kind of swapped around.
Yeah, now Pro Evo is a pile of shit.
Now Pro Evo is pretty much rubbish.
It's not very good at all. And FIFA has now become a more simulation game, but it's become more popular as a result
Exactly.
Which seems
crazy.
Totally backwards considering the audience that buy FIFA games.
Well, no, it's built as a proper football sim.
Yeah.
But, anyway, moving on.
Yeah,
sorry.
FIFA. Damn you, Phil. Infecting FIFA sorry? With his conversation.
He's not listening.
I know he's not listening.
I'm watching Lord of the Rings
with subtitles.
He's watching Sean Bean with subtitles on.
No, Return of the King, he's not.
He's dead.
I'm on to about the fourth ending now, so I'm getting towards the end of it.
Oh, well, never mind.
Obviously, I'm playing more Daytona as well because I can't get enough of that game. I've nearly done all the tracks on karaoke mode. I don't know why I'm doing this. It's quite ridiculous, but
it is mental, isn't it?
It really is.
But the fact you don't have to sing, you don't even have to have a microphone connected. It's just the fact that the words are, and there's not that many
words
are
there.
Really, apart from Daytona.
I am telling you, if they cross that with SingStar, that is a game.
Did we not have an idea a couple of months ago about how there should be a game where the better you sing, the faster your car goes?
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah, how amazing awesome. Would that be?
Disney have probably licensed it right now.
Probably, yeah. I mean, you're all witness to how good my 5-year-old was at Daytona a little while
ago. Yeah, he's a kid like George Michael.
Yeah, my son drives video game cars like George Michael, yes, pretty much. Stoned and... No.
I could have made quite the comment there, but I left it alone.
Yeah, I know. You're trying to say my
son's drink. You're
welcome. Yeah, thank you. Not a problem at all.
Very good. Playing Uncharted 3 as well. It's a brilliant game. It's just, if you're a PS3 and do not own any of these games yet, go buy now, please. Any of them. Preferably start at 1. Don't do what I did. I did Uncharted 2, Uncharted 1, and Uncharted 3, because that's how I roll.
You like your sequels first.
I like my seconds first, then my first, then the final bit. So
yeah, oh yes.
I am rather stupid in that respect.
No problem.
And I have literally just picked up today Shadows of the Damned, which is a game with lots of penis humour and blood, from what I've been told.
Yeah, apparently so.
So I'm looking forward to playing that.
When your gun is called the Big Boner.
Yes.
You really have to wonder.
Well, it's from the minds that brought you No More Heroes,
Killer 7,
yes. Resident Evil 4, and Silent Hill, so it's going to be pretty messed up.
I'm pretty sure there's a fairly outstanding review of that game on our website, actually.
I'm sure there is. If you go to breakforward.com, you'll find the review.
Paolo did it for us, yeah.
Yes, well done, Paolo.
He the man.
Yes, he is.
He's the man.
He
good
the man
old Raimondo.
Yes, indeed. But besides that, that's pretty much it for me.
Okay. Alan, lean forward into the microphone, sir, and give us your wisdom.
My back goes after a while.
That's what your girlfriend said.
Hey!
Boom,
every month, I'm going to fit that line in.
Oh, is it every month he does?
It's about every time I fit it in. Once. I feel my games this month, I went a bit retro. But I actually feel...
Never.
You shock me to my core.
I feel it's a bit ironic in the tone of the podcast so far, because my retro games have been FIFA.
Hey!
What FIFA
will
you
you'll
play
find
now?
Is the new version of Call of Duty.
Yes, it is. It is.
Well, I was playing FIFA 97.
Ooh. Oh my!
And FIFA 98.
Ooh.
Is that FIFA 98 or Road to World Cup 98?
Ooh.
Yeah,
same game.
The infamous year that EA released three FIFA games in the 1 year.
I thought it was just two they released.
No, there was France 98.
Yeah.
Road before that, you had Road to the World Cup 98.
Yeah.
And in between, you had
FIFA
98.
I think it's the same game, but I could be wrong. You can look this up if you want, but I think FIFA
98... I will do.
I will.
Challenge accepted.
FIFA 98 is what it's called on the N64, because that's the one I've got on the cartridge. It says FIFA 98.
Right.
However, the Road to the World Cup's in it. But if you buy the
PS... Yeah, FIFA Road to World Cup 98. There you go.
But
the last one released for the Mega Drive.
I thought I just... Oh, wow. I thought I just did international teams.
No, it's got all your Arsenal, Man United, Newcastle, Premier League on it.
Does it? Oh,
yeah. So anyway, remember we said it had an indoor mode on?
Yes.
And I'd never discovered it? Well, I went and discovered it.
I think it's great.
I think it's good for the game. I mean, for a game made in 1997, it's a superb kind of indoor football thing.
Yeah.
But you can't have a league on it. All you can have is friendlies. That's my big complaint.
Oh.
Yeah, it was more put in, I think, as a gimmick, to be honest.
Because in 97, you can have leagues on it, I'm fairly sure.
Yeah.
But 98, you could just play friendlies. But I was quite impressed with the way it worked for a computer game that's all them years old.
Given that nowadays you've got the arena prior to the matches starting on the newer FIFA games, you would kind of think that they could bring back that opportunity to have a smaller scale match.
No, that's called FIFA Street.
Yeah,
it's not the same, yeah.
FIFA Shite, yeah.
When it's they can tell it to you as a whole separate game, they're not gonna.
That's what the indoor mode is, basically. It's FIFA Street. It's a fucking terrible collection of games, if I do say so.
Yes, agreed.
I then upgraded to FIFA 2002.
Ooh.
Which again, I thought was quite... I don't know why, I thought it was quite playable and quite good.
I'm trying to remember who all the players would be around in like sort of 2002 time.
I think Henry's on the box.
Oh, aye. I remember that.
I think you're right, yeah.
But anyway, then I went to FIFA 2006. Right. And that was on the Xbox. Mm-hmm. Shite it was, shite.
There we go.
I don't know what it is. Is it just because I'm retro? Or generally did they go...
FIFA 2006 was rubbish.
They went downhill a bit, you know?
Yeah, before they pulled it back.
Was that Alan Shearer was on the cover?
I've got one with...
Oh, six? No way.
I've got one with Ronaldinho on the cover, but I think
it's Wayne Rooney and Ronaldinho looking at the Wikipedia page.
See? Dictionary
to come every month.
Are you hearing the game title just going immediately to Wikipedia going, I'm going to press wrong? Is that what you're doing? Are you hearing a game title and immediately searching it?
No, I've got the list of all the FIFA games up.
Oh, cool. Fuck. Oh, well then.
So anyway, I think they sort of de-evolutionized them, so to speak.
You mean they made them stupid?
Yeah, they took them back instead of taking them forward.
Have you got FIFA Soccer 95?
I've got 96 as the earliest one I've got.
Is that still the isometric view?
No, I think
that's the first 3D one, isn't it?
The Super Nintendo one, which is FIFA International Soccer.
Yeah.
And then they made FIFA 95 on the Mega Drive, I believe. And then FIFA 96 came out on the PS1 and other few consoles.
Oh, my first football game was Italia 90 on the Mega Drive with the top-down, shit-tastic view.
Woohoo.
Yes.
All the big kids were playing Kickoff 2 on the Amiga.
There's
a football game right there.
Oh, no.
I had Emlyn Hughes' Soccer for the Spectrum.
Wow!
Boom.
Jesus.
He comes
Emlyn
back.
Hughes.
Yes.
Bad cantrip. I had Steve Davis Snooker for the Spectrum. Yeah,
I remember there was playing Endless Nights of Jimmy White snooker and the Amiga.
Oh, with the balls, you
could talk with
you.
With the balls, as opposed to what?
No, yeah, let me finish. Like, if you left the game sit for a bit, the balls would wake up and do like funny faces at you.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah,
I must find a copy of this game on the computer.
You could choke the cue for no reason. Don't make a choking noise.
Yeah. Great noise.
Chalk your cue all night long if you want to get a ball.
But just before I finish the FIFA, one little fact: FIFA World Cup, wrote the World Cup 1998 is the only FIFA game to date to feature every single club or every single country who tried to get into the World Cup. No other World Cup game has replicated it. That's the only one with every single country in. Did you know that?
No.
Really?
That's a bit of trivia
even,
for you.
Even including
even
the
including
most recent
2012
one.
Does not have 2010.
Oh, Wikipedia
sorry.
Agrees with him.
does not have it.
And Wikipedia says, ding!
It says no subsequent edition of the FIFA series has attempted to replicate FIFA 98's inclusion of every FIFA national team.
Yep. Now, oh. I know this not because I read Wikipedia.
You just know it's in your blood.
I have the history of the World Cup book in my house, which I am reading at the moment. That's all I know. So anyway, that's that. Anyway, quickly, a couple of other games. I've played WWE 12.
Yay!
Very briefly, but a demo version of it was at the arena when we went to see the wrestling. And I think it plays identically to all the others. I could be wrong playing the game more in depth, but...
I think you're wrong. They've tweaked a lot in this.
Really? Oh, well, it was just one game. I had about 1 2-minute game. And it seemed to me...
It's meant to be all completely new, by like completely redone from the ground up.
That's what I was expecting, but it's not what I received.
Maybe it was a demo build you got.
Possibly. The buttons are different, but the actual way it looks in when you try to counter grapples, like, you know, left trigger and stuff still appears above the heads and stuff like that. And to me, it still looks very much the same. But I could be wrong once I've played the proper game, which came in the post for me today, but sadly I cannot... it's in Newcastle, so I can't play.
Yeah, because you had it sent to Newcastle and not here.
Yes, that is true.
That would be the reason why.
Anyway.
Moving on.
One more retro-y sort of game I've been playing. I don't know if any of you know this, because I never heard of it, but... I went on the Wii with me 500 points to look for a game to play.
Oh, you've had this 500 points over the last 6 months.
I have, and there's not much on there for 500 points.
No,
to be
no, there's not.
I couldn't be asked to go downstairs and get my credit card to add more points. I thought it'd be like Xbox, and you could just do it automatically, but no, you can't.
No, Nintendo are too paranoid about that.
So it was like, no. So I went through, and I thought, what the fucking hell can I play? And I ended up playing something I've never heard of it. I bought it sheerly on the title, called Street Gangs.
Yes.
Someone's heard of it?
Yes.
Right, it appears to be Japanese.
Yes.
And you go around having turf wars with people.
Yes.
And to re-energize, you have sushi, coffee.
The good gangs do.
You get magical, you get better abilities by buying books from the bookstore.
Yeah, all
oh,
the
fuck
good gangs
off, come on!
And yes, it's pretty much like Streets of Rage and some sort of strategy game.
Should I tell you a really sad fact about the Virtual Console?
Go on.
It's been 20 weeks since the last Virtual Console update in Europe.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know it's been a while.
Been a very long time, I seem to remember there being more Mega Drive SNES games and other games released than what's on the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why they don't just, like, empty the whole lot onto there. I don't know. Makes no sense to me. But then I'm not in charge of a corporation, so what do I know?
Exactly. They just put Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey on there. It's a classic N64 game.
Yeah, will they get a license to use Wayne Gretzky again? That's
we'll just call it ice hockey then.
It's the same. It's the same reason why much to everyone's demand they haven't re-released the sort of N64 GoldenEye on it because they haven't got a Bond license anymore.
or No Mercy is another one.
Or No Mercy they can't do because they'd have to pay royalties to every person who was in No Mercy. And let's face it, you're going to end up paying Rikishi more money.
Can they not release the old games because it's got WWF in the title?
That's for another reason as well.
They are allowed... Now, here's... Oh, God, I'm going to get so...
They're allowed to do it in Europe, aren't they, but not in America?
No. They are allowed to use the WWF logo, but the big, blocky, silver one.
Oh, yeah, not the scratch
logo.
For some reason, they cannot use what's described as the scratch logo.
Or the attitude.
Which is the attitude one with, like, the white and the white and red one.
Yeah, yeah.
But
why?
Unless they want to release...
I don't know.
Because of the pandas.
Yeah, pretty
pandas.
Much. I think. It's
I
because...
said this on Twitter a while ago. They should just have Triple H fight a panda to decide once and for all who should have the name.
Carry on, Al.
Because Vince McMahon changed the name of his company is why they had to do it. He changed it from Titan Sports to the World Wrestling Federation, and that's what the WWF did not like is the fact he changed his company name, which I found bizarre. But there you go.
Oh, just to add one other retro nugget. In the week, anybody noticed the news that Dizzy?
Yes,
is back.
I was going to mention that.
No,
Dizzy's coming back.
Android and iOS.
Oh, yeah, Dizzy's back.
Prince of the Oak folk.
Yes,
coming back next month onto mobile phones.
I'll just lit up with joy.
HD remake. I am chuffed.
Is it the old games rehashed?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Oh.
I need some Tylerol. No.
Jesus.
I'm looking very much forward to that.
Yeah, I saw the release, but the press release picture was just an egg box. With a little
eyes poking out of the egg box.
Yeah.
Is this just only for mobile phones?
Seemingly, yes.
Yeah.
I think iPads as well.
My problem with that is touchscreen controls.
It is touchscreen controls.
Unless you've got the Xperia PlayStation phone. I'd rather it be on, like, just release the old ROMs on the Virtual Console store. Because they do C64 games on the Virtual Console. Why can't they do put all the Disney games up?
Depends on some kind of deal with Nintendo and Codemasters, really. I broke open the Super Nintendo and played two games, one of which was Pilot Wings.
Ooh.
Which is... Ooh, ooh. Which is always good fun. Slightly kind of... Not, I wouldn't say tainted, but by the recent sort of 3DS one, which seemed to just be like a Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah.
Like, upgrade.
Yeah. It was set in the Wii Sports Resort, that's sort of sad.
Yeah,
it was
set in Woohoo Island, or whatever it is. Yeah, but anyway. But the original Super Nintendo one is the nuts. It's really, really bloody good.
I enjoy it.
You forget how bloody relaxing it is.
Well, the music, because you get to fly through the hoops and parachuting the platforms, moving in the water
and
stuff.
It's just really nice, you're just floating through the sky.
There was a different time, you see. It was a time where you could just sit back and relax.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nowadays, it's all stress.
You just got to shoot someone and garrot them. I don't like it.
No.
I mean, I'd rather just jump out of a plane and go ballistic and then just have a little hole in the ground where I've like, crashed through.
Did you ever just for the hell of it, just deliberately not open the guy's parachute?
Yes.
I've done that a few times.
I remember sitting there thinking, what happens if, oh, that, right.
Well,
okay.
I was just thinking, oh.
Ow,
pain. He's got a family.
The other thing I played was Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Oh.
What?
We did a podcast on that, I need to watch it.
Did you?
Yeah, we mentioned it, we're talking about in one of our Dragon specials.
When was this?
We did Dragon the Bruce Lee story a few episodes ago.
Really?
We did Dragon the Bruce Lee story as one of our films. We talked about the game.
It's awesome.
Shockingly, it's a beat 'em up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's shocking. I thought it was going to be a cooking simulator. But it's not. And it's all just based... And it was also like the first beat 'em up to have three players at once.
It wasn't the first.
And Al corrected me the other day that it was actually, carry on Al.
International Karate Plus.
Karate on news, on the Commodore
Yeah.
Right.
Retro. When you were playing it, you press T and their trousers would fall down.
Yeah, exactly.
True, I never knew
that. Why would you program that in?
Because it's funny.
That's not the point.
Because it's funny.
Dragon the Bruce Lee story had that awesome move where you could, if your opponent was downed, you could leap into the air and kind of drop kick them in the ribs while they're on the floor. But he twisted his feet at the last minute. So he just kind of goes. Oh! It's just brilliant.
Oh, back to the races.
I was in the impersonation of the game.
That's the sound in the game.
Okay, fair enough.
And what do you mean, Phil? Back to the racism.
Oh, sorry, we've never been racist at any point ever.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Never.
What the hell are you doing?
Sorry.
What the hell are you on about? What the hell are you on
about? That's the concussion kicking in.
So for my games, that was just about me, really. I didn't really have much else, really, to report.
Good evening, females, fellas, and welcome to episode 4 of the Co-op Shop. My name is Kurz, and this is my second player start, Treeby3B.
Evening all.
This month, we've been jailbreaking, loot-taking, and a wee bit of screen-shaking our way through the Kane and Lynch series. So, over to you, the fun-loving criminals. Running around, robbing banks, all whacked up with screwy snacks.
Running around, robbing banks, all whacked up with screwy snacks.
The Kane and Lynch series, named after its protagonists, a Mr. Kane and a Mr. Lynch.
Yeah.
Kane is the main protagonist of the first one. He's a guy on death row, gets broken out, has to deal with some previous demons in the name of the Seven.
Yeah.
The Seven is a gang of thugs that he's supposedly f***ed over by stealing their money. The Seven give him 3 weeks to get the money back, else...
Which, which, if I remember correctly, Lynch was somehow involved with.
Yeah, they kind of tagged Lynch into it to kind of keep Kane on the straight and narrow, which is stupid because Lynch is mental.
Yeah, he's bat crazy.
In some ways, they kind of work quite well together, but everything ends up going quite south quite quickly with this after Kane's wife gets killed by the Seven, leaving him with just his daughter, who doesn't know him, doesn't really want to know him. And they end up going all kinds of crazy then, trying to take their revenge out on the Seven. Honestly, we don't know how that ended because we couldn't be asked.
No, after three consecutive nights playing it, should we say? I had to put it down.
Bored. So we cracked on with the second one. I would love to say that this was an advancement, an improvement, maybe.
You'd think after, I think it was a year, I think...
At least.
What was it? I think Dead Men was 2009, Dog Days 2010.
Right, okay.
You know.
There was a lot, not really a hype, but it seemed to be doing better with the sort of lead up to it than Dead Men did. They thought it was going to do better.
I don't know how they got to that conclusion.
Me neither. So, Dog Days, based in Shanghai. This time, Lynch was the main protagonist. And he's kind of built a new life for himself in Shanghai.
Really mellowed out.
Yeah, you actually see a little bit of humanity in him, don't you? And this Kane turns up and it just all goes to s*** again. Now, when it comes to the gameplay, this is a... third-person shooter?
Yeah, it's pure third-person.
Yeah. Each of you, in a sort of co-op aspect, obviously takes one of the characters. In the first one, as I said, the first player plays as Kane, second player plays as Lynch, and then in the second one, vice versa. There's little to no improvement between the two of them. The shooting mechanic feels wrong, I would say.
It's... Wrong is not the right word.
No? How would you describe it?
I don't think there's a word available. Seriously, it was that bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
That was just the first one.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even run into the second one. Second one was a bit better, but not...
Really?
Not a lot. The biggest thing with the second one, though, was the camera. Like, the shaky, supposed to be done through a sort of handheld camera, is so off-putting, it doesn't help at all.
No. Made me feel sick.
Yeah.
You know?
We turned it off, didn't we? Yeah, the screen shake thing, we put a like stabilizer on it and continued playing like that. It didn't, you know, make what we were playing any better, but at least you weren't wanting to throw up. Well, you wanted to throw up for different reasons.
Yeah.
So the biggest problem that I found with the whole thing was with a game like this, especially when you can see the character that you're playing the entire time, you really want to be able to root for the protagonist. You really want the main party to win, don't you?
Yeah.
And I never felt that with Kane and Lynch. Honestly, if in the first scene they hadn't been busted out of jail and had both ended up on death row and had both died,
it would have probably been a better game.
Yeah, it would have saved me however many hours of my life and I wouldn't have missed it at all.
No.
And both of them just turned into this gratuitous turkey shoot kind of thing, didn't it? With these idiotic, constantly spawning enemies who, as long as you shoot enough, then they die and you can move on to the next bit and do it all over again. We try to pride ourselves on being able to find goodness in all games, and in Kane and Lynch, you can't. If Eidos decide to put out a third one, I don't know what they're thinking. We didn't try the multiplayer aspect of it, maybe we should have. But the single player / cooperative side of it is dribble. The storyline in it is shocking. You know from the offset that everything's going to go to shit, but not in a way that it's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be just tedium. Just constant tedium. And I did not enjoy this in the slightest.
Well, there were a couple of points I can't really say enjoyed, but I found a little bit on the funny side.
Like, which part?
Well, I think the one thing that kind of made me laugh a little bit was when you're in the bank, you've just robbed it, you know, you're trying to make your escape, you know, Lynch comes out, has one of his little psychotic episodes.
Okay,
And, like, even though they're all hostage, you just see them as cops.
Yeah.
And as you're controlling them, you get to shoot them all.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hear all the dialogue in the background, you know, him screaming out, going absolutely crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually made me laugh a little bit until, you know...
It didn't have the desired effect, does it? Because I think it was supposed to sort of show that he was a man with fault, and it didn't. It seemed to have been put in, or just sort of tacked on for the hell of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that was at all necessary. You could show that he was crazy in other ways. I know they've done the whole hallucinogenic thing, you know, but in other games they've done it so much better. In Arkham Asylum, when you come across the Scarecrow, one of the standout moments in any video game I've ever played in my entire life. In the newest Uncharted, I don't want to spoil this for you because I know you haven't played it yet, but there's a point in that when it all goes a bit hallucinogenic and it's brilliant, and yet this is just, oh, let's make all the hostages turn into policemen and then make all the policemen turn into actual pigs. And it's just,
I forgot about that bit, didn't I?
It's just absolutely stupid. It wasn't
a little bit over the top. It was,
yeah, it wasn't scary, it wasn't meaningful, it wasn't necessary.
No. And from a company like Eidos, you know, that brought us Tomb Raider, for the company to bring this, what were they thinking?
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. I think they were trying, in the first instance, they were trying to get into the new consoles and stuff, and they came out with something that they thought would appeal to an older generation, and we're better than this. We don't, you know, give us something with...
a decent storyline.
Exactly. Decent storyline, believable characters, and...
the full package.
Yeah. A bit of fun to go with it as well, and this isn't.
Because every game has got its fun, its humour. You know, even as you said, like Batman Uncharted, you know, there's a little bit of humour tucked in somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
This, I said, apart from the one, as you said, the hallucinogenic bit, which brought a little titter.
Mm.
That was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree.
Games shouldn't be this crappy serious.
So. Yeah, I'll quickly go over it, but graphics, not great.
Pants.
Sound, bit crap.
Yeah, the guns didn't sound right, nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All in all, I can positively say that this is one of the most mind-numbing...
disappointing.
Shits, box,
Of a game.
that I have... ever played in my life, and if I never go anywhere near a Kane and Lynch story ever again, it will be far too soon. So, all in all, if I was to say, would I recommend this game, as I'm sure you've probably picked up, that would be a hearty no from me.
And a big old f*** no from me.
So, that's it. If you come across Kane and Lynch, give it a very, very wide berth.
Even if it's on offer.
Yeah. If you don't, then don't say we didn't warn you. So that's it for us. Thank you very, very much indeed for partaking of the co-op shop this evening. We will be back next month with what we hope will not be a disappointment this time. We'll be trying our luck at the Spec Op missions on Modern Warfare 3. So hopefully we'll be able to keep each other alive long enough through that to actually give a decent review.
Indeed.
So, until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from you.
And we'll see you again soon. Thank you very much. Back over to you, Break for Progress.
See you guys.
You'll come again.
The door opens, the faint waft of dust fills the air, and there behind the counter of the Games Emporium is one Geordie Allen. Geordie Allen, here we are again for another month of the Retro Gaming Emporium. And what do you have for us this month?
Well, I have something a little bit unusual for you this month. I've been dusting your shelves off in the Emporium.
Right.
Which is actually true, because I was shucking loads of crap out of my mum's house.
Right.
And I come across my gaming box.
Ooh.
Has anyone else in the time had a gaming box?
I've got one now.
No.
Okay, well, describe what my gaming box was. It was a throwback to a better time. Basically, I got this cardboard box. I think it was the box that one of the Universal Converters came in.
Right.
It was plain white, nothing fancy about it, just a plain white box.
Mm-hmm.
And scrawled on it is cheat codes and passwords
of
games gone by. I don't even know what was what. Just literally covered in them.
That's
what
really
was in
cool.
the treasure of the box? So I opened the box up to see what was in it. There was the instruction booklet to the Super Nintendo.
Nice.
There was a guide to Mario. Is it Mario and Yoshi? A game I don't even never even owned. The Mortal Kombat guidebook was in there. The Raw Zone was. There's various instruction booklets for games like Mario World, a couple of the wrestling ones, and various pieces of paper. Scroll down cheat codes and and a couple of pages out of a magazine that I'd ripped out with all the combos for WrestleMania on the PlayStation. Someone's wrote down the magazine. These pages were just ripped out of the magazine and folded up and jammed in this box for eternity.
What did you do with this?
I've kept it, of course.
You kept it?
Kept it, of course. I should have brought it across. It would have been great just to have a look through.
Did you take a photo?
No, I could take a photo. I took my mum's there. It's not... You know, it's accessible.
Because we've got the Break for Frogger Facebook page now,
yeah.
we need to have more photos.
Oh, well, now my retro games box will be going on it. It was a throwback to times gone by when I was flicking through all these old manuals, pieces of paper.
You could probably get some money for those manuals on eBay now if you wanted to get rid of them.
What, like?
I don't know. I'm sure people collect, yeah. these kind of things.
Yeah. Because I've got the boxes in the attic as well. But
what the boxes the games came in?
Yeah, got
people get those because a lot of those are very, very rare in lots of cases now.
Oh, I kept everything. I've got
If you buy the game normally, it'll just be the cartridge, that's it. But if you've got the box for it as well, that generally increases value.
Yeah,
I've got
everything. I kept everything. I've even got the N64 box and the Super Nintendo box and the Nintendo box. They're all in the attic.
Yeah, take some pictures. I'd like to see that. The original Nintendo box as well, because I had one. But...
I've got the Turtles one. I've got the Turtles with it.
Yes.
Nice.
They're all up in the attic. I think. I don't know what else I've got up there, but I'll have a look. But I found the GoldenEye instruction book that was in there. Which again brought back some memories. I just wonder if anyone else possessed a gaming box in their time. I just thought it was a nice little thing.
I ever had a game. I seem to remember having a sort of officially Nintendo stamped, like, plastic NES cartridge container.
Oh, classy.
That contained about 30 NES cartridges when you took them out of the boxes and just had them in the little plastic wallets they had.
Like a CD rack type thing. Yeah.
Kind of that. And I remember I covered it in stickers from like official Nintendo magazines. But I think, and my mum denies it to this day, but she definitely sold my NES.
Oh.
I don't remember ever giving it away to anyone or whatever, and it disappeared from the house. In a kind of, I think my mum just looked at it one day and went, oh, well, he's got better consoles now, we won't need this one.
Oh.
And she flogged it. Even though she denies it to this day, she says, no, I wouldn't have touched it, I wouldn't have done that. And I'm thinking, I bet you bloody did.
Well, Cam, would you like to reunite with your NES just today? Because here it is right now. I'm only kidding.
Oh, cruel that. Evil that. So I remember having, like, Double Dragon.
Oh.
And,
Double Dragon.
What else
did
I have? Mega Man in
there. That's painful.
Yep. I know. Solstice, as we already discussed a few months ago.
Yeah.
I had Elite there as well. I've never spoken to you about
Elite. Elite!
Oh, okay.
Elite!
I remember I had a similar moment to Geordie a while ago when I was clearing out stuff at my parents' house and I found my old Amiga.
Ooh,
and a shit ton of games. Which, if you go look on my Facebook page, if you're my friend, I did take photos because I'm that kind of person. It's on Facebook. It's under the album called Amiga Day. And it was amazing.
Would that be the day you discovered your Amiga?
Yeah.
No, wow. It was an Amiga Day.
That's why I call it an Amiga Day. But in a way, it should have been called Amigo Day because it was like finding an old friend.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, you can see some of the boxes of the pictures. There's like Jimmy White sat there blowing chalk off his queue. Monkey Island. And it still worked. It did work for a while. And then the power block started to smoke, so I had to unplug it pretty quick.
Yes. I'd do that.
I think some of the old games are, I've got on the pictures, is Alien Breed Special Edition 92.
Hey.
Huzzah.
Yeah. Zool and Zool 2.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, Zool. Zool wasn't great.
Hush your mouth.
Zool was not great.
Did you have RoboCod?
I think I had it on a pirate copy because my cousin gave me like a huge box of pirated discs when I first got my Amiga. And on the pictures you can see there's like two disc boxes just literally full of pirate games. I'm not proud of that, but that's just, you know, that's just the way it is.
Just the way it is.
That's just how you roll at the time, isn't it?
Yeah. Dulux Paint 2, I had that.
Dulux Paint.
Just on the comedy value, sorry, I just remember when you said Deep Paint 2 there. Another thing, the animation, you can do animation on Dulux Paint 2. Do you know what that, did anyone do it before?
No.
No one knows what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, you can do an animation, just like, you know, draw a picture and
yeah.
You do it.
Yeah.
I tried to do the opening credits to Adam West Batman on it.
Oh, that is amazing.
Obviously it looks shit, but still it was hilarious.
It's good.
Did you take photos?
Well, no, because I was like 14 at the time.
Useless.
Yeah. And then I tried to play Body Blows, but then the game crashed, which was deeply upsetting.
Don't do that. Yeah, do you have a game box, Tom?
If you're friends with me on Facebook, you can look at my album and see it. It's glorious memories there.
I love going back in time.
Yeah, we noticed.
Yeah, we noticed.
That's why you have a segment to it.
That's why you have your own segment where you go back in time.
I would love to possess a BBC Micro again. I went way back in time.
I wouldn't.
Not for Gallagher, no?
No.
No?
Reminds me of school
Chucky
too much.
Egg?
BBC Micros just remind me of school too much.
No.
Mind you, there was a game called Elite on the BBC Micro.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Did I ever tell you about Elite?
I think you mentioned it once or twice before.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Anyone who's playing the Cameron Elite shot game, you probably should have taken a few by now.
Yeah.
Just in case you haven't, Elite. There you go. That's about four.
Alright.
I remember Chucky Egg, I spent hours playing that game, and I look at it now and go, this game's shit, how did I manage to spend hours in this game? The aim was to save the fucking egg.
But that's all you had though, wasn't it? You only had, like, certain games, so you did play them to death, because what else were you going to do?
On the giant 5.5 inch floppies, were they?
Proper floppies.
Like that, yeah,
oh, I remember
yeah
them,
the
yeah.
Proper ones that you could bend them in half.
If you were destructive.
Yes, if you were evil and destructive.
If you were good and kept it with respect, then no, you didn't.
Then of course, the Spectrum. Glorious Spectrum.
Never had a Spectrum.
40 minutes for the game, so then I get fucking errors at the end.
I might dig that out then. I've still got my Spectrum on there.
Oh, really? Which one have you got?
A ZX Plus 2.
Oh, is that the one with the full keyboard?
Yeah.
And the tape deck built in?
Aye, they're all in one.
So oh, okay, okay. That's what
the grey one. I think it's not there. I think it's a slightly moderner one, so to
speak. Right.
Sadly, I haven't got the box for that though. The box for that went, but I've still got that.
Right.
See,
so, do you want games for it?
I've got loads. Yeah, I've got Dizzy actually. Yeah,
you should crack that out.
I presume it's the last time I played. It still worked. I've got WrestleMania as well, which is truly.
Oh my god! WrestleMania on the Spectrum. Could it be worse than the NES version?
Yes, it is. It's the same as the Amiga version, just much poorer graphics.
It's the same as the Amiga version.
Have you got WrestleMania for your Amiga?
I did. Yes.
I loved it.
Was it WrestleMania? Yeah, it must have been, because it was really easy to win the game just by grabbing the steel chair.
Yeah, that's WrestleMania for you. Yes, that's how you complete it. Because you can't do it any other way. You can't grapple, because they're too ridiculous to beat them in grapples.
Yeah.
You just have to go to the outside of the ring, whack them with a steel chair till the energy had gone.
Yeah,
you get one hit in the ring to knock them down and then pin them.
It sounds more like Anarchy Rules the more I think about it.
That's how you did it. But it really disappoints me, because I remember that, I think that year I played... what was the arcade wrestling game called?
WrestleFest?
WrestleFest, yeah, that was amazing. Oh, so obviously my parents got me that WrestleMania for the Amiga, and it was shite.
The engine was similar, but the options were just
I played WrestleFest in the arcade recently, and I was fucking terrible at it. I couldn't get it at all.
It is, on its default setting, it's a really hard game.
It is.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I worked in the game shop.
When you worked in the games industry,
We had an arcade machine to WrestleFest in the corner of the shop for a while.
Classy. The one that got me out of the shop, if I knew.
Yeah, and it was like 10p for a go.
Oh my god!
Because we set it cheap just to get people in.
Would have got me in.
It would have got you in.
You wouldn't have sticking pound coins and going.
try to bug
but
notes
we actually it. We actually had to break it open and change the switches around, because it was just so monumentally hard.
Yeah.
that we thought, now we're going to give people a fighting chance here.
Isn't the Honky Tonk Man in that game?
Yes.
No.
WrestleFest.
Superstars, Honky Tonk Man.
Yes, Superstars,
the one after. So it had Superstars for the Game Boy, which had the Million Dollar Man in it and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's similar, but it's very early. Superstars is based in 1988.
Yeah.
So it's
proper wrestling back then.
Exactly. The conversation for a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The whole podcast waiting for that.
So but, yeah, but that was WrestleFest. You couldn't beat it for me on the arcades. And as you know, I've got it on my laptop, which I showed you the other
one. Yes, you have. Is that it for the?
Oh yeah, that was the story of my games box. Oh. I literally was transported back in time when I found
really? Literally were transported back in time.
Literally were. I just felt I was a 14-year-old boy.
Discovering the box has enabled you to break the rules of physics.
Somebody might. Yeah, exactly.
So that's the games emporium tonight.
That's the games emporium.
Oh well.
Tonight.
Closing the doors.
We are sadly. I don't know whether I should elaborate on the random story or not.
I like the idea it's been random.
Try us and we can edit it out if it's not. how long have we got for Phil?
We have 27 minutes.
That's okay.
Go.
Have you ever went into a shop and just know you've bought the wrong thing before?
And what? You need to explain the
story
first.
That time I went bra shopping.
Right.
Well, moving on.
In Tesco's, I did the condom shopping.
Oh,
oh no, wait a minute, I've heard this is brilliant.
Go on.
Wait, you do the condom shopping, right? Yeah.
This will have to get edited out, but it's fantastic. Okay.
I never like buying them, I always feel embarrassed to buy them.
I don't know why.
I just do. So anyway, we make sure the aisle's clear, zoom the trolley around to intercept them, and then on we go.
The trolley James Bond style.
But I mean, they put the bloody counter next to them. It's like a big queue of people usually, and then they'll look at you.
Yeah, who cares? You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, it's look at me. I'm buying this. I'm fucking something. It may not be a real person, maybe a farmyard animal, but you know, it's still something.
Don't give my ideas.
Anyway, usually we get the small packs. I don't mean in size. I mean, we'll emphasize that now.
I buy the large. Thank you very much.
Extra small. I may as well get water balloons. Anyway, so usually I like to zoom past and get these.
Well, you don't even stop. You just run with your arm out and just get them off the shelf.
I've got a pregnancy test, a comb. Yeah, I've got all sorts. No. But we went past, and I didn't have the ones that I wanted, so I had to get the next ones that were £2 next to it, right? Now, I waited until I got home to inspect on what I had bought.
What, to read the instructions?
Yes, pretty much. I had bought extra safe ones, which basically mean, take it up the arse. With extra lube, sorry. Extra lube on them as well, right? And, if this wasn't bad enough...
If this wasn't bad enough...
I kid you not, I swear to God I'm not lying. The picture on the front of the box was of JLS.
Oh, yeah! You bought the JLS ones! They had a whole lineup recently that everyone...
I was like,
each one of the band members was in one of the packets.
What the fuck have I picked up here, right? Anyway.
That's the man you're supposed to dream about when you're pounding someone else. That's One Direction, sorry.
The night
One Direction, surely.
Oh, no. Hang on, there's more. Oh! Wait, there's more.
The night got intimate, and the time came to when I would open the packet, and I just started going, everybody in love. And
Adam was killed.
Pretty much, yeah. So the lesson here is be careful what you buy in the supermarket.
Can't edit
friend,
that out.
My friend Toby actually told me that he was in the new Sainsbury's in Penrith the other day, and there was like scouts packing. Unfortunately, he'd forgotten when he got to the till and said yes to the packing that he'd picked up condoms and lube. And he said he was quite comfortable with it until like this 10-year-old boy looked up at him from the bag while he was putting them in and gave him a go on, son, wink.
He probably went, funny that the Scoutmaster's been buying this.
This has
cutting room floor written all over it. It really does.
It's funny though.
Everybody in love.
Yeah. Okay, listen,
oh, that has ruined that song for me now.
You're just going to think of Al's naked body now.
JLS on the front of the bar, it abbreviated to something like Just Love Sex or something like
oh,
that.
Oh no! Yeah. Fucking hell.
So anyway, I'm glad I got my extra strong looped up JLS condoms. I'm so proud of my purchase.
Oh,
my god! You just take a picture of those and put them on Twitter for crying out loud. That's what it's there for.
Wearing them or what?
No!
Oh my god!
I can dig the used one out the bin.
Oh my god!
No! For the love of god! This is going on the kind of floor.
Yeah, you should edit that.
On the contrary, I'm thinking this is staying in.
Anyway, let's get back to the gaming podcast.
Yes, anyway.
Let's talk about your cock more.
I'm not mad. I'm telling you, I do enjoy the Retro Gaming Emporium, but the back room of the Retro Emporium, that's where the action is.
It's the JLS songs in the back room.
Yeah.
Containing games like Custard.
Is that everybody? Oh. Let me look in this back room. Oh my god!
On an even more important cat than herself, Catwoman. Ah. In the greatness that is Arkham City, which I've watched Michael play the entire way through and blummin' love, we finished the whole mission, and I'm now going around being Catwoman, trying to find out who stole my loot. My first observation on this game is I have no idea how any man has played it. Oh, crap, being shot at. Without being distracted by the fact that she's wearing pretty... She's
not actually hitting them, you're just jumping.
Oh, right, am I not hitting them? Oh, now I'm hitting them. Oh, but crap, I've dropped... Where's the other one? Die!
Oh,
nope, I'm
you
dead.
Died.
Oh, that wasn't a very good start. Anyway, my point being, I have no idea how any man can woman play this without being totally distracted by her cat suit and her ass. I mean, the woman is literally sambaing almost from side to side. Every movement she makes, it goes... Swing, swing. It's like a pendulum. Like one of those stress market toys, but in leather. I wonder if they actually make those. Anyway, yes. I've now got to go and find my loot, apparently. Oh, I jumped very high that time. I've got to go find my loot, which Two-Face took. And I'm now on top of a tower, and below me are two thugs. Thugs. Sorry, I was appalling grammar. Where have they gone? And I need to jump on them to get my loot. So I'm going to do a drop and punch this time. I will punch. Oh, no, I've jumped on a dustbin accidentally. Right. Oh, crap, I'm dead again. I'm really not very good at working my whip. I may leave the thugs and go and explore elsewhere. People without guns, because, frankly, guns versus me smashing buttons doesn't seem to do very much. I was hoping there'll be more whipping involved, but... as I can't seem to master the whip, probably says a lot about me, I am going to go elsewhere for friendlier pursuits and maybe just practice some climbing. Which doesn't sound too much fun, but I can assure you, you will find it thrilling as I whip things. Right, I'm heading towards the Bright Light District, which could also be known as the Red Light District if the lights weren't blue. Oh, I'm cartwheeling down that's so cool, I cartwheel down a building side. I am clearly awesome, like some killer gymnast or something. And now I'm going up the wall. Oh, I'm not. I'm backtracking. I'm really bad at this. Right, I'm on the floor. I'm on the ground. This is good. Ground is good. I found somebody who has loot. Does he have a gun as well? No. I'm going to go beat up the guy without the loot. Ready? Whip! Whip time! I whipped him! I'm whipping him! I've sunned him slightly. Oh, he's got a knife. I'm hitting him.
You're not hitting him, you're jumping over him.
Oh, well, I'm trying to hit him.
You're nowhere near him.
I'm kicking a tree, surely that counts. Die, tree. Oh, I booted him! He's dead, and I have recovered several jewels from my establishment. Yay! I'm making progress. I see another one. Right, we're going. We're off to find another one. I'm surprised you didn't sell it to Poison Ivy. I'm sure she must be annoyed at me, given that I kind of, you know, stood on her flower and stuff, which seems to be some sort of heinous crime in her.
Spoilers.
Oh, it's only slightly. Usually, I stood on a flower. It's hardly a spoiler of a great nature. I'm punching this guy. Oh, more guys are running at me. Die. Die, die. Whip, 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 whip. You're not whipping them. I'm doing this entirely in thief mode, which makes them all glow like Colossus when he's all silver and shiny.
It also means you can't see where you are.
I can kind of see where I am. I'm whipping the ones with knives and punching the ones with sticks, and this seems to work well. And then occasionally I jump over them. Die. Whip, 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 whip. No, no, no. They're kicking me.
When those blue lines appear, you need to counter.
I know I need to, dear, but my method of just whacking the buttons tends to work.
Well, it doesn't.
Well, it does occasionally, and I'm doing it. I'm building up a speed, and I'm clawing them, and I'm whipping them, and there's jumping involved. It's quite a sight to see, may I say. Oh, I just kicked him in the crotch. I mean, there's a wonderful whipping noise when she rakes her nails across someone's face. I wouldn't want to be hit by me. Oh, I'm getting stunned. I just want my loot. Why can't I get my loot? I mean, it could be... I mean, have you ever thought, it might not be jewels, it could be something very personal, like a photo or a treasured bit of kitty nibble, a catnip toy. And there's... What good does Two-Face have to that? Ah! Success. I have defeated... them all, and...
Don't lie for the purposes of this podcast.
I'm trying to make it last 5 minutes.
You've just died.
Well, I was trying to give the audience a happy ending. Okay, I died, but I did rescue 3 of my jewels in pursuit, so that's got to be worth something. Next time we'll see you guys. It'll be the Christmas special. Tune in, because I know it's going to be amazing, and have a very happy Christmas and New Year from the Fluffy Kitten. Bye!
And that's us into the home stretch of episode 2.11 of Break for Frogger. I believe, though, that before we sign off for the night, Phil has some sort of business to tend to.
Yeah, I got some points of business from the last podcast.
Go on, then.
Number one, Adam West Batman is amazing. I won't hear anything otherwise.
You're wrong.
Three votes to two, you're wrong. Next point,
you've been outvoted. Carry on.
Yeah, Cameron, sit down. How old's your boy? Five. Yeah, sitting down, because it's being shown on ITV4 every weekday at the moment. 4 o'clock, two episodes, back to back. Sitting down with it, he will bloody love it. Then you will understand
how great that is. Yeah? Phil, I'll stop you there and say, I already have.
Yeah.
And he didn't like it.
Well, your son's obviously clearly rubbish then. Sorry, but I've just got to see how it is.
He just didn't like it. He just said it's Batman, but not Daddy's Batman. And off he went.
Oh,
he
rubbish.
Wasn't bothered by it.
No,
so there you go.
Amazing. It's clearly amazing.
Stick that up in your pipe and smoke it, son.
Next point.
The magazines. Arcade Magazine was genuinely amazing. It was a really good magazine.
It was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really, really good... I think it was about a year or so.
I don't think it even made it to like issue 13, 14 or something.
One of the last few issues talked about the PlayStation 2. So it was...
Alright.
It wasn't very long, but it was really good. But the best ever video game magazine was one called Maximum.
Ooh.
Anybody?
Wasn't that an adult magazine?
No.
It's Maxim.
You're thinking Maximum.
Sorry.
It's Maximum. No, Maximum magazine was a short-lived, but literally five or six issues in like late 95. And it was brilliant.
This is my time.
It was just fantastic. It was barely any adverts in it. And it was like Edge, but done by real people.
As opposed to what?
Edge not done by a robot.
Yeah, not done by the hoity-toity wank hat wearing pricks.
The Wankmaster 5000 yeah. robot.
No, this was a magazine. Yeah. It had I think it was like a 12-page spread on Street Fighter Alpha.
Jesus.
Cool. Yeah, literally like a massive 12-page spread. It had 10-page articles on Neo Geo CD games.
Oh my god!
Oh, genius! Man.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was. went into so much depth on things. It was just brilliant. But at last, it was like it burned brightly and then went away because I think there was.
Yeah.
It was quite expensive. It was £3.50 an issue, which I think back in '95 was an awful lot with no demo disc or anything on there.
With no demo disc on it, yeah.
No, it was literally just. And it was like the one of the first kind of next generation magazines. So it was all about the PlayStation, Saturn, those kind of games, those kind of consoles. And it was just brilliant. It was one of the best magazines you'll ever get. And I've still got like the 5 issues on my shelf because they're still worthwhile reading now because they're just really kind of made by fans and it's just it was brilliant. But
cool.
It's not.
I can remember it vaguely, but I can't. I don't think I ever read it.
No, you should have. I think the first issue had like Wipeout on the front, and there was like I don't know 20 pages on Wipeout. Isn't it ridiculous?
Jeez.
They do like when Soul Edge, they were the first of the Soul Blade games came out. I think that had like a good 20-page article on that, but like one page per character going through all their moves. It was fantastic.
This is ringing a bell, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ringing a bell when you said about the Street Fighter article, but now you just hit the Wipeout one. I actually think I may have bought that issue.
Yeah, it was just fantastic. The whole thing was just brilliant. But see, it didn't last very long because there was not much advertising in it, so you were getting kind of the pure magazine. But because of that, there was no way to cover the cost of it, so it went away. But I think it just as it went away, the N64 came out. There's like they did like one of the last things like a big review on Mario 64. So I still get them out and read them every now and then because they still stand up. They're still really good. But I think that was it. But no one mentioned Mean Machines. What's all that about?
I never read Mean Machines.
I do remember it. Couldn't think of it.
Mean Machines was brilliant.
Did Mean Machines not split into like Sega Power and Official Nintendo Magazine though?
It got split into Mean Machines Sega and Official Nintendo Magazine System. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Jesus.
But
Christ.
Mean Machines was great. That's where I got my Contra jigsaw puzzle. Yeah.
You have a Contra jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
Wow.
It came free with Mean Machines.
Wow.
Brilliant. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And I think a few of the creators who worked on Mean Machines ended up working on Maximum, which is why it was so good.
Right.
But Mean Machines was I think everybody at my school read that in the kind of early 90s because it was just simply the best games magazine out there.
Hmm.
And none of you can remember it because you're clearly younger than me and therefore I feel old.
I'm not that much younger than you, Phil.
That's true.
How old are you?
31.
So is Jordy Al.
Yay! I love you, Al.
Yeah, Jordy Al's birthday is September.
Mine's in July, so let's see.
His
interests are long walks.
So that was it to me. That's all I wanted to raise up, really, just those 3 points. That Adam West is brilliant. Mean Machines is great. Maximum's better. No, I'm not wrong. I'm right.
No,
not about Batman.
I am right about Batman. I'm right.
You're wrong.
I'm right. No, wait. Wait. I say Batman's good. Cameron say it isn't. Al agrees with me. What's the opinion from the other two?
Fuck Adam West.
Oh!
He's hilarious in Family Guy.
Yeah.
That's different. It's not Batman.
Wrong.
It's not degrading. Next you'll be telling me that Joel Schumacher did a really good job with the Batman franchise.
No, he really fucking didn't.
Because, it's such campy chic.
That's a false statement.
But the old Batman's great. There's one I watched when he went for a burger. And he was sat in the Batmobile having a burger with Robin. Calling him old chum. It was fantastic.
Anywho.
He does the bat dance in one episode.
Rubbish.
Exactly.
Moving on.
Goes to a nightclub.
Moving on.
No, I refuse to move on from this.
No,
moving
you
on.
And Al get a Lethal Watching episode where you just wank all over Batman and leave the talk.
Yeah, here's the thing. When are you getting Al on Lethal Watching?
I don't know.
I want an answer.
Whenever, I guess. We're always up for a guess.
This man deserves to be on Lethal Watching.
I could work Skype, though.
If you're going to talk about 80s movies, then this man's your man.
What sort of 80s movies to talk about?
Anything, really.
Well, any 80s movies. Of course, we did two and a half hours on films that had Dragon in the title.
Sure could have thought so.
We literally did. 2.5 hours. Films with Dragon in the title.
Oh, Christ.
Including
Anywho,
Dragon.
Was that it then?
Yeah, that's it for me. Yeah.
Was that it from you?
That's it.
Right. in which case, we'll be back next month with a Christmas special episode.
Yeah, it's a Christmas special.
We voted against it last year because we thought, no, we can't be bothered. And this
but
year we said
unfortunately, we've become a lot more... Well, not unfortunately. Fortunately, we've become a lot more well-produced and capable over the past year, in our own opinion.
Sustaining
that's
that.
A bit smug, but who cares?
I've yet to write the story bits of the Christmas special.
Well, you'd better get to it.
I'd better get to it, really.
I've been busy dealing with Holland.
I've been busy dealing with producers in Holland, yes. That's about it. If you want to contact the show in the meantime, bear in mind the poetry competition's still going. Which we've had no one so far into that one.
Wow.
For Fury's bag of swag.
Can I do a poem about how great Adam West Batman is?
Absolutely.
No, because it's nothing to do with Break for Frogger. And it has to do with this podcast.
How about if I do a poem about how great Jordy L thinks Adam West Batman is?
That's my winning vote.
That's tenuous, but we do.
It's tenuous, but the moment if you enter, you're the only entry. Yeah. So you
win
anyway.
By default.
I'll jump straight on that then.
Yeah, I would. If you want to contact the show in the meantime, the email address is breakforfrogger@gmail.com.
It is indeed. We are now on Facebook. What took us so long?
Yeah, that took ages, didn't it?
Yes, it's rather
ridiculous. We're there anyway.
Facebook.com/breakforfrogger.
I'm on Twitter as @CrippleH.
I'm on Twitter at Runaway Bomber.
I'm on at Wandering Urine.
I want it fixed by Christmas.
And Evil Ninja Phil is...
at Evil Ninja Phil.
And you want to plug your other stuff?
Yeah, so... you can go to... I won't plug the other podcast because it's shit. I'll just plug Lethal Watching. That's the good one. which
shut
you can
the
find
shit podcast
at...
we both do.
aboveducation.com. And other about stuff on it, there, like videos and all kinds of crazy shit.
I would wholeheartedly recommend it. Anyway.
Thanks, love.
That's all right. Thanks for coming on, Phil.
That's all right.
Yeah, much appreciated. It's been a great laugh.
It has been a good laugh. I hope
you've
had a good time.
Yeah, and if you cut out Jordy L's condom story, I'm going to be so upset.
Well, no, you can't!
Oh, I think there's no intention, my friend.
I think Phil is being very sly, and I think that is the reason why he's just said that.
Yes, I think so. The sly bastard that he is.
Yes!
Well,
he underestimates the power of editing.
Everybody in love, put your hands up, etc.
That's all it. That good night, faithful listeners.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you.
Couple of.